The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the podcast this morning. Today is Thursday, the 3rd of September, 2020. I'm Francesca Morgan and I'll be filling in for Justin, who will be returning on Monday. On today's podcast, John Mayer will be tuning in. He's a mining analyst and partner at finance broker SP Angel. John will be touching on several stocks this morning, including Bushveld Minerals, Blue Jay Mining and Kodal Minerals, to name a few. And also we'll be touching on the rising demand of certain commodities, including but not limited to vanadium and lithium.
Vox Markets is an online community of investors that runs a free mobile and desktop platform that allows you to track news and updates about any UK-listed company, offering RNS push notifications, detailed charts, pricing data, and much more. Find out more at voxmarkets.co.uk/app. The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
Joining me today on the podcast is John Mayer, mining analyst and partner at SP Angel. Thanks for joining me today, John.
You're welcome. Yeah, it's always good to be here.
Of course. Now, I understand there are a few companies you want to talk about today. How should we introduce this? Should we kick off with Bushveld Minerals, or is there another one that you think is more appropriate to start off with, and what's going on this morning?
Well, it's all about what's going on in the world and then choosing the companies to run with that.
Okay, great.
We see iron ore prices are up again in China. They've got some problems at ports, but never mind the problems at one of their ports. The price is still going up, and that's still very good for the companies that are exporting iron ore into China. So that's Rio Tinto and BHP. But of course, a lot of this is being driven by the very strong demand in China for steel. And that is now being seen as driving vanadium prices, which jumped in Europe last week by 6.4%. Which is the first big upward move in vanadium for a little while. So Bushveld Minerals came out reporting their second quarter and first half production and sales numbers. Those numbers were not quite as good as we had hoped, but and the forward guidance was reduced a little bit. But still there's still room for, shall we say, quite a lot of improvement through the second half, particularly with vanadium prices rising. So in a world where shall we say, the first half of this year, which is a bit of a write-off and something we'd all love to forget, we're really looking forwards to what happens in the second half, and more to the point, what are the value drivers for next year? So Bushveld Minerals is looking quite interesting, certainly with vanadium prices rising again. And I think there's going to be just increasing growth in vanadium in a market where it's quite difficult to supply much new production.
Would you say the group has taken advantage of the vanadium demand then?
I think what they did was when the demand was weak, they held back a certain amount of in terms of sales. And now that demand is strong, and certainly demand is being sucked into China, or new production is being sucked into China. And Bushveld is certainly taking advantage of that. So they are definitely increasing sales into that region and taking advantage of the higher prices seen in China at the moment.
Now, what else is going on, John?
Well, we also see ilmenite prices rising. And this is interesting from a Blue Jay mining perspective. So we raised our valuation on Blue Jay this morning to 24.7p. It had been down at 20p, and that's still quite a long way ahead of the share price at 8p a share. We're just waiting for the company to issue to receive its mining license in Greenland. They just finished the public consultation process. So what happens is any comments and perhaps even objections to the project put into a white book. That's then considered by the government and everybody to see what can be done about these things, because we believe the government is really supportive of this project. So we're hoping that BlueJay will gain its mining license in the next few months, certainly this year, in our view. And we see that as a significant value driver for the company. And the great thing is, with the ilmenite prices moving higher, that does add value to what they're looking to do. So we're very, very happy about that.
Mm. And the company had news on Tuesday as well, is that right?
Yes, it's a bit more of the same. They've been talking about the permitting process. In the meantime, they're also exploring elsewhere in Greenland. There's not so much going on the ground, but there's a lot going on in the office, where they're trawling through data on projects that they've recently acquired, and working out how to do more remote sensing and then planning for next year's field season, when I think everything will hopefully be open again.
Mm. Is there anything else we can expect from them, do you think?
Well, I'm looking forward to perhaps another announcement on in relation to off-taking.
Right.
So that will be contracted demand for supply from the Dundas project that they have. We hope that will come up to something close to 100% of production. But to be honest, there's such a disconnect between supply and demand in the market at the moment that BlueJay should be able to go into production really very quickly. In fact, I would expect them to start some form of production next year. And they've already demonstrated that they can mine off the beach in Greenland. And they sent 43,000 tons over to Rio Tinto Iron and Titanium in Quebec last year. So it's really not difficult to do. There is a bit of purification that needs to be done. That could be done in Greenland or in Quebec. The current plan is to do that in Greenland, which raises the capital cost, but it's still certainly value adding for BlueJay, and it means that more of the value is captured within Greenland for the benefit of the Greenland people. So I think that's a big driver there.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the price is moving higher and that that there is a bit of a shortage in demand is very good news for them.
Mm, that's great. Now, Kodal Minerals, they're up today. And I think they had news out on Tuesday. They signed an MOU. Can you talk about this a bit?
Yes, the MOU is with a massive Chinese group. And Sinohydro is the subsidiary of Power China. And
right.
This MOU is extremely significant for the company. I mean, it doesn't give full certainty that the Chinese are going to come in and finance and develop this project,
mm.
but it certainly goes an awful long way towards saying that this project is likely to be done. The Sinohydro team have already been to site. They've examined the project. Now they're doing the rest of the work that they need to do, including engineering and other studies. They will manage the financing. Presumably that will all be Chinese money. And then I would expect Sinohydro to be the major contractor involved in this. Kodal is operating in Mali. It's in the south of Mali, which is a safe area, thankfully. We don't expect the recent military coup in Mali to have any impact on this.
Mm.
It's a long way away from the insurgents further north. And we expect the company to be able to press ahead with the project quite well. So it's great. It's just fantastic news from a Kodal perspective.
Yeah. And is there anything else going on at the moment?
A bit of news from Blue Rock Diamonds. They sold another diamond for $103,000. They also sold a parcel of diamonds for $330 a carat, which is not a great price, but it's also not a terrible price either. So Blue Rock doing quite well. I think, you know, they expect to get access to international prices really quite soon. So there's quite a lot of good news coming out from a bunch of these smaller companies in the mining sector. We've got very strong prices for copper, nickel, zinc, tin, given that we've had a pretty serious economic hit in the first half in most parts of the world, and yet we've got stimulus projects coming through that are definitely going to raise commodity prices and commodity demand. So it's from a mining perspective, it's all looking quite rosy.
Mm. Can you see any other ways in which the company will benefit from having this increase in grade that they reported this morning?
Yes, the increase in grade is actually very good news. It's something we sort of expected. Management have talked about this in the past. But of course, expecting something and actually realizing it can be two different things. So, I mean, that's very much a value adding event for a mining company, is when the grade actually goes up. And it's partly down to the skill of Mike Houston and Gus Savimbi, who are running the project, in that they know what they're doing. They know how to manage dilution. They know how to run an open pit. And Mike Houston's particularly good on processing plants. And so these guys are running the business properly, and I've got a lot of faith in their ability to add a great deal of value here.
Mm. And then I just wanted to touch on Savannah Resources. I know they had news on Tuesday as well.
Yeah, the Savannah have been just tidying up a bit. They're focusing on the lithium project in Portugal. So they've sold off the copper assets in Oman. Because I mean, it's always good when a company with a relatively small team focuses down on one thing. There's a huge drive now for European battery manufacturing and for the sourcing and supply of raw materials within Europe. Northvolt, we're talking about that earlier in the week. They're now installing battery manufacturing equipment in their new factory in Sweden. And so, of course, they're running around trying to source European supplies of lithium, graphite, which we expect will come from Talga. And, you know, you need a particular type of spherical graphite for battery manufacturing. I'm not sure where they're going to get their nickel from, for example, because everybody wants their nickel to be clean and green, so to speak. But in some companies we'll be better at providing this than others. And Elon Musk came out with a very important a very significant statement challenging the industry to bring him sensible supplies of future nickel production. But I think for now, Savannah is very well placed in Portugal from a lithium perspective.
Right.
And I think certainly the news with Codal that Sinohydro were taking a close interest indicates to me that the Chinese are still very much running around the world trying to grab as much future lithium production as they can. Mm. It's all very well for us to talk about the need for graphite and for nickel, but actually there will be a lot more demand for lithium, because I mean, if you chop open a battery, yes, it looks like it's full of graphite, but there's quite a lot of lithium in there as well. And those are the two major, well, the three major components of graphite, lithium and nickel. And that's and given the number of batteries that are going to be produced in future years, the demand is set to rise very, extraordinarily.
Really? Can you see, is this going to have particular significance in the European battery market, do you think, or elsewhere?
Certainly. I mean, we have close connections with some of the guys who are trying to source materials within the new European battery market. One of our team was recently poached by Volkswagen, for example, for his expertise in this space.
Really?
So yeah, it's very much expanding, and there's a lot going on, because the Germans do not want to play second fiddle to China in terms of new electric vehicle production.
Right. That's great, John. I think you've touched on some stocks really nicely there. Thanks so much for coming on this morning and outlining all those nice and clearly.
All right. You're welcome.
Have a good day. Bye.
You too. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And now for the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets platform. At number five is Vela Technologies, ticker VELA. Avacta Group comes in at number four, ticker AVCT. Keras Resources is at number three, ticker KRS. 4D Pharma comes in at number two, ticker DDDD. And finally at number one is Ammo Minerals Corporation, ticker AMC. And finally, The most liked RNSs on the Vox Markets platform are at number 5, Braveheart Investment Group, ticker BRH, with an update on the development of its COVID test. At number 4 is Cadence Minerals, ticker KDNC, with an update regarding MacArthur Minerals and the flagship Moonshine Magnetite deposits at Lake Charles. At number 3 is Omega Diagnostics, with its CE mark for the Mellogic COVID antibody test. Cadence Minerals again comes in at number 2 with its agreement in principle to the Brent creditor settlement in regards to the Amapa iron ore project. And at number 1, finally, is Gfinity after the Group 1 distribution rights with 3 of the world's leading broadcasters for its new virtual racing competition, the V10R League. And that is ticker JFIN.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.